And we're excited. Now, my bulletin had his bio in it, and I don't have it, but I will say this. You can read his bio. And it's not in this one up here, but you can read his bio. He's a great man. He's a family man. He's a man with a vision. He's a young man of power. And when I met him, something clicked. I cannot explain it to you, but something clicked. And I'm excited about him. And the next voice after the sermonic hymn this morning by Sister Pyle. None other than Elder, Preacher of the Hour, Elder Michael Brown, all the way from Philadelphia. You know, when you ever rode the train and said Philadelphia, 34th Street Station? And he will be the next voice you will hear after that. And when he comes, I want you to stand on your feet and make him feel welcome in this right, reaching out for Jesus Christian Center atmosphere. Sister Pyle is going to come with the sermonic hymn.
Boy. Hallelujah. Real simple. Just lift your hands and just tell the Lord, thank you. Just lift your hands and tell him things are as well as they are, but I thank him. Amen. I've had some ups and downs, but I made it. I've had some ups and downs, but thank God I made it. I've had some ups and downs, but I thank God I made it. Hallelujah. I thank God. Ups and downs. Nobody but God. But thank God I made it. I've had some ups and downs, but I thank God I made it. I've had some ups and downs, but I thank God. I think. don't know about you, but he's brought me through a mighty long way.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love my Jesus. Because he first loved me.
We can sing that together.
Worship. Worship.
Worship. Worship. Yeah, turn it up. Worship. Let your spirit reign in this place, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, let your spirit reign in this place.
Hallelujah. We bless your name.
He's worthy.
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 Saying everything that you've been praying for, you think that it can't be done with your finances, but God said that you will be able to provide for your family the way he has poured into you. God said, just stand. Don't worry about the troubled waters right now. God is saying that you are a mighty man of God, and he's going to give you everything that you need. Woman of God, and people are coming against your self-esteem and who you are and what you look like, but the word of God will never come back void in your life. I'm telling you this right now. He wants joy to come out of you. See, in the presence of the Lord, the spirit of joy is going. There's liberty going. God is saying, get your joy back. He's saying, get your joy back. Get your joy back. Destiny. Father, I thank you, Lord God. I see a newness in your relationship. I see a newness. God is stirring up a new anointing, a new peace, a new joy. God is making you the man to stand flat-footed in this gospel. God is saying, do not be ashamed to be a great husband, father, mighty man, priest of his household. Don't let the world tell you you can't do it. You're a mighty man of God. You are a mighty man of God. God said, lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Everything the enemy thought he was going to do, God has rebuked it. I see in the in 1 Judah says, it said that there was a war in Michael, that archangel was warring, contending for the body of Moses. But he brought not railing accusations. He said, the Lord rebuke you. See, when things come up upon your life, man of God, just say, the Lord, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke that spirit. Push that thing back. Raise up a standard. God is doing something great in you, man. Diseases because of your praise. God is saying, turn it, and that goes for everybody. You can turn that situation, the infirmity. God is saying, your praise. Your praise. Your praise. Come on now.
He's worthy.
Now, I can't. They told I got to be out of here in 25 minutes. I'm watching the clock.
He's worthy.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Our God is worthy.
Yes, God.
Oh, spring of hope.
But Pastor, man, Pastor's a mighty man of God. Every time he talks, I'm listening. And as I was riding, I felt like I was driving so smooth in his car. But as I was riding up, I saw so many different things. I saw Great Wolf Lodge. And you can be seated. I'm sorry. I know y'all getting a lot of exercise, but we're going to work it out. And if I'm too loud, they can turn my mic down a little bit, because I'm from Philly. I got that city buzz in me, so y'all can tell me, Mike, keep it down. But can y'all hear me? We good? Can you hear me? 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 Is this good enough? Yes? Amen? All we in the back, we good? Raise your hand if we good. All right. But so as I was riding up with Pastor, I saw all these different events. They had Great Wolf Lodge, and they had cabin walk, and they had a place where you can go zip line. And it was a lot of things to do. But I heard God saying that when you come into the house this morning, we're not going to do church. We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to walk this thing out for Jesus. See, it's easy to do church. You can look good in a suit. You can look very pretty in a dress. But the Spirit of the living God is in this place, and God is saying he wants to move. Come on now. He wants to move. So I'm going to take my time. I have to do this because, again, I told you I'm from Philly, so it's how we do. But I have a thing. I'm 30. I'll be, 37 in a minute. Next. But so I come from a different era than many of you, and I respect everybody old and young, but I can only do it the way Mike Brown does it. So in Philly, I say, Jesus in the building, all hats off. Scream hallelujah and clap, y'all. Once you're forgiven, don't look back, y'all. He's alive and coming back. Now, I want y'all to participate. Jesus in the building, all hats off. Scream hallelujah and clap, y'all. Once you've forgiven, don't look back, y'all. He's alive and coming back. 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 Oh, I like y'all. I'm good. Oh, man. See, y'all know y'all got an anointed pastor because he's tall. He got this high pulpit. I love it, but I'm going to use it. We're going to work this thing out. See, and I'm so thankful that as I came up here and I was asking God, what do you want me to say? And I kept talking to Pastor, and I said, Pastor, you ready? I want to come up. I'm excited. I want to, fellowship with you guys. And as I was driving, truly driving up here, God said, he started showing me a couple of things. And I was so thankful. See, you have to be very mindful. When God shows you something, write it down. Record it. Try to document it. That's how we got this word that's before us. Because somebody took the time and said, give me a piece of paper. Give me a stone. Give me a pen. Give me something. Let me record what God has just done. So as I'm coming up, Pastor said, man, are y'all cool? Y'all staying? And we're staying at the Holiday Inn, man. Big up to the Holiday Inn. It's a really nice place. But I knew that it was of God that he had to stay in there, because when we forgot some things, and they said, well, they had a little sign. And they said, if you forgot your toiletries, they said a razor. I said, man, they know I'm coming from Philadelphia, because in Philadelphia, some of us, when we got that nappy old head, you need a razor, right? And they had all these different things on the list. And I said, man, they welcomed me like a Nazirite. I said, man, see, back in the Word of God, let me share something with you. Is it okay if I walk around a little bit? And we're going to start in 1 John. It's so much power. I'm so excited. God is saying that this is a divine appointment. This is a divine appointment. And one of the things about the atmosphere that you guys are going to learn, as God was giving it to me, he said, I want you to deal with the appointment for disappointment. See, how many of us know, I heard the song earlier, it says, guess what, I've been through some stuff. And there's some things in this house, there's some things in our lives that we've been through, and God is saying that you just had an appointment with disappointment. It might have been a season, but God is saying he's going to turn all those things around, all around. But guess what? The one thing you have to do in the appointment is you have to change your atmosphere. That's why what we did this morning with the songs and worship and crying out, even the prophetic word, God is saying the way you deal with disappointment, the way you deal with rejection, is you have to change your atmosphere. Y'all see the flags blowing? And the wind blowing, they cranked the fan up and the air conditioner, right? They're what? Changing the atmosphere. So when you feel some bumpy roads in your life, you look at your bank account and it's overdrawn. You look at your marriage and it looks jacked up. You look at the situation on the job, it looks like a dead-end situation. You got to change the atmosphere. All right, let's go. 1 John. When you have it, we're going to go to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And if you got your Bibles, you can crack them open. If you got the iPad, the iPhone, the BlackBerry, the Samsung. See, God made it so easy. He said, you cannot deny me. I'm going to give you everything that you use on a daily basis and make you worship me. God, I left my Bible at home. Well, you got your phone. God, my phone is dead. You got your iPad. You got your tablet. Let's look at what God says. 1 John chapter 2. Start at verse 24. Actually, we're going to start at 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same have not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, Ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised unto us, even eternal life. Here we go. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Now, when we hear that word seduce, many times we automatically back up and say, whoa, hold up. But that word is, it's a seductive spirit. And many times, it doesn't have to be an intimate or a physical seduction, but it could be a word that's trying to get inside your heart. See, one thing about flattery knows how to get to your heart. Oh, you look so pretty. Oh, I do. Oh, you look handsome. Yes, I do. See, when you hear those words, it's trying to get into your heart. Oh, come on. I know I'm preaching now. Come on now. And guess what? We all look good no matter what we look like, no matter how much we weigh, no matter how nappy our head is sometimes. God said, you still look good. But see, that word is trying to go to get inside your heart to grow some roots. Come on now. See, when you know that, when you understand, he said, let that abide in you, you'll never be seduced. You'll never be seduced. Now watch what it says. It says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. See, it's the anointing that abides in you that gives you the power. It's the anointing that abides in you that gives you your joy. It's the anointing that abides in you that's able to push away and resist sickness and temptation and manifold disease. It's the anointing in you. But he said, you got to keep it. It says, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth and is no lie, even it has taught you, shall abide in you. Now, let me explain to you what the anointing is for. See, in Isaiah chapter 61, he said, I'm anointed to preach this gospel. I'm anointed to preach this gospel. That's not me saying it. That's all of us saying it. I'm anointed. Wherever my pulpit is, I'm anointed to preach that gospel. Some of you have a pulpit at your job, taking trash or dumping garbage or cleaning up an office building. Or some of you working, I heard somebody was a nurse this morning. Some of you work in a hospital. That's your pulpit. So you're anointed in that pulpit to preach that gospel. Some of you work in a cubicle where it seems like it's just you, but you're anointed to preach that gospel at the water cooler. Wherever you might be, you change the atmosphere through the anointing to preach this gospel. See, some of us think it's going to be just the pulpit, and it might be the pulpit, but it might be on your job where somebody is waiting, somebody's going through cancer, somebody's going through AIDS or addiction, and they're just waiting for you to grab that little verbal mic and say, I'm anointed to preach this gospel. I'm going to speak to that situation in your life. And see, what you have to be comfortable with is understanding that that's just your pulpit. Pastor's got his pulpit right here, about 6 foot tall. He's the man. But your pulpit might be a little different. See, in the body of Christ, we have to understand that all of us have the anointing inside that once it's activated, people are going to get set free. He said, I came to preach deliverance to the captives. I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to set at liberty those that were in bondage. I came to give sight to the blind. And it's not just standing behind the pulpit. It's wherever your pulpit is. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Now, what God is saying is inside the anointing is an atmosphere. And there's three things that God showed me in the atmosphere of the anointing. One, there's divine fellowship. This is just foundation. I'll be done in 20 minutes. Divine fellowship. So the first thing you have to know when there's an anointing of God, God is going to say, I have been fellowshipping with you. And then when I fellowship with you, you're going to fellowship with man. So you can't keep this word inside of you. If you're anointed to preach this gospel, you got to go out and share it. You got to go. You got to give it. You got to pour out everything that you have because you're anointed to preach this gospel. And every time Jesus preached the word, he said, I preach and I heal. I preach and I heal. Look at Mark chapter 4. He said everywhere he went, all manner of disease he was healing. But the first thing he did was preach. So you preach and then you heal. You speak the word of God and then you can heal. You got something in your, and it's not just your physical body, and you might have some stuff and lay hands on yourself, but you might see your finances and say, you know what? I'm sick of my bank account being overdrawn. I'm sick of them charging me this. I'm sick of these high interest rates, and I'm going to preach this word and I'm going to heal my situation. God is saying, don't wait till Sunday. God is saying, activate the anointing in your life on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then thank God again because it's Friday. All right, all right, all right, all right. See, I thank God that this is Men's Day because Father's Day just passed, and I was watching TV, and it was Father's Day was Sunday. Monday morning, 6 o'clock a.m. on the dot, they show people in Montgomery County, all the cops knocking on the doors for deadbeat dads. That was the name of the segment of the news. It was deadbeat dads. Well, I came to tell you that you are a man or woman of God. You are not a deadbeat dad or a deadbeat mom. Guess what? See, God is a God of correction. God will expose you, you're right. God will rebuke you, right. God will correct you, right. But he's still a man of God. Look at all David's failures. Everything David did, he took Uriah's wife. Come on now, y'all. Come on. The thing that makes David great is because he has so many failures. The thing that made him great is he fell down. He had scraped his knees sometimes. He had bumped his head sometimes. He had made some mistakes a lot of times. But God said, I still love him. And even in the midst of his stuff, David said, thou art the Lord. He said, you are my shepherd. See, don't let the world tell you that you're not worthy. Don't let the world tell you, especially men. Because men, we do some stuff. But God is saying, you are a man or a woman of God, and in this you shall be confident. God always talks about confidence. And he didn't say self-exaltation. He said confidence in who you are through him. Turn over to 2 Samuel. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I thank you guys for welcoming me. I feel at home, man. I feel at home. Now, I didn't bring any cheesesteaks or tasty cakes or soft pretzels. I'm sorry. Next time I come back, I'll bring them up with me, and we'll have a little food party. You know, people, we love some food now. We love some food. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 12. And Pastor, if I keep me on tap, man, throw a tomato at me or something if I'm running over a little bit. Because I want y'all to get out and enjoy this beautiful day. But God has so much in this place today. Oh, let me tell you. Man of God, I'm just telling you, man. God is doing so many things, but I just can't. You just got to know it. You just got to know it. God is saying everything that is linked that's trying to attack your mind in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke thee. I'm going to do it like this. Is it okay if I carry my Bible around? I'm from Philly. I told you all now. But I've been blessed to spend a lot of time in the Poconos, so I'm thankful. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Look at verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. See, what he was talking about was David had made some mistakes, like many of us. David had did some things behind closed doors, like many of us. David had slept with the wrong woman or the wrong man, like many of us. Come on now. Come on, keep it real now. So there were some things in his past, there were some things in his history that weren't right. There were some things that if he had to erase, he would erase. There were some things that if he had white out, he would put white out on it. There were some things that he wanted blotted out. And God sent the prophet Nathan to give him a word. And he said, well, you did this wrong and you did that wrong. And he said, well, how would you feel about it? Look at it. Let's read it. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd. This is verse 4. To dress for the wayfaring man that come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. See, it's easy when you think it's not about you and it's your friend. Oh, you better leave that man. I can't believe he did that to you. Girl, you better walk on out. If that was me, I would do this. Oh, yo, homie, look, she did that to you. She didn't make your dinner. She ain't cook your steak on Father's Day. Oh, you better walk on out the door. Go get you a side joint. Go get you a jump off. I'm just keeping it real now. I'm just telling the truth now. Them old wives' fables don't work in Jesus' house. Come on now. So what God is saying, he was showing David. David was like, yeah, if that was me, man, this is what I would do. Godly communication. You got to have it. And David's anger was greatly kindled. I'm reading 5 again against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man has done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity on him. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. See, when you know you got to look in the mirror like Michael Jackson, it's not that easy to say what you would do, because now it's all you, it's nobody else. Don't listen to what your girlfriend say when she tell you to leave your man. Don't listen to what your friends say when they tell you to leave your wife. Come on now, I'm just telling the truth now. Because the word of God is saying that sooner or later you're going to be in a position where the prophet's going to come and give you a word and say, thou art the man. And what God is saying is that as he's going through with David, and you can look at it, it says that, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. See, God's running down his resume. See, when you got a resume, it names all your accomplishments. Anybody ever do a resume or a transcript or a job application? You name down all your successes. And God is saying, I anointed you. I prospered you. I gave it, gave you whatever you wanted. And look what God says. Look what else he says. Watch this. He said, I gave thee thy master's house, thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if thou had been too little, I would have moreover have given you unto thee such and such. God is saying, whatever you ask for today, God is saying that he has already made a provision to do it for you. Stop worrying. Stop wondering. God is saying that he has already done it. But he's saying, look in the mirror and examine yourself. He said, whatever you would have asked, David, son. See, David was a man after what? God's own heart. God said, I gave you everything. Everything. You wanted what? One more thing. There's a rap song that says, never enough. And he said, he names all these different things. And the song, he says, never enough. Oh, it's never enough. But God is saying that he's given us everything. Pastor took me up to this mountain this morning. Man, it was early 5, 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was. And I looked over. Some of y'all know about it, right? So I looked over and I said, yeah, that house right over there. That's what I want. And he said, well, you took all this over here and it was, why didn't you select that? Sometimes we get secure and we get content. God is saying that he's given us a house on a hill. God has given us the marriage that we want. God has given us the relationship with our children. See, I love Malachi 3. It says, guess what? It doesn't talk about marriage. It says sons back to the fathers and daughters back to the mother. God is a God of reunification. Yeah. See, whatever you came today for, God is like, I'm reunifying. I'm rejoining. I'm reuniting you with that today. The wife of your youth, the husband of your youth, the love of your youth is coming back today. Come on now. See, why come to church if you're not going to be reunited with what God has for you. Look at what God did with David. He said when David was running and David was scared, he said he went to the house. He had to consecrate himself. Let me say that now. He had to consecrate himself. And he said, I don't have a knife. I don't have a gun. I don't got a bow and arrow. He said, well, what do you have? They said, the only thing we have is the sword of Goliath. Now, this is very important. Now, I want you to understand this about the anointing. See, the anointing will always take you back to the beginning. See, even through your junk, you might have had all kind of stuff going through your marriage, but God is going to say, remember that day when you said, I do. Remember that day when you put the ring on your finger. Remember that day when you was in your suit and you had your fresh cut and you had your long dress and you had your veil. You had everything. Remember that day. He said the sword. He said the only thing I have. It's the sword of Goliath. And guess what David said? David said, there's none like it. See, don't let anybody tell you that what you have is not good and it's not valuable. God is saying that just like you took that sword and you slayed Goliath, God said, I'm going to take you back to that sword one day because you're going to need it. You're going to face something, situations in your life where you're going to need to pick up that old sword and slay that next giant. Come on now. See, if you don't have a giant to slay, then we all might as well walk out the church. But I got some giants in my life. Nobody in my family ever made a marriage until the day of Jesus Christ. So guess what? I'm going to pick up my sword and I'm going to slay that giant. Some of you got some financial situations that went on from your mama and your mama's mama and your daddy's daddy, or your daddy wasn't there. No other man was there. Nobody picked you up. Nobody showed you how to play basketball. Nobody took you on a prom. Somebody left you somewhere. Somebody did you wrong. Pick up that sword and say, I'm going to slay that giant. Come on now. Woo! Say, I'm going to slay that giant. See, you remember when David did it, he cut his head off. He picked it up. He held it out and made an open show of it. That was just like Jesus. He spoiled every power and principality, every ordinance, everything that was against you. Jesus said, I'm going to hold it up and I'm going to show you that the head is cut off. Come on now. We're just having some fun. We're talking about the anointing. Talking about the anointing. See, it wasn't David that did it. It was the anointing. God said, I anointed you. And I gave you everything. See, many times we want everything, but we don't want the anointing. Who wants the anointing? And let me tell you something. In the book of Acts chapter 8, it says the anointing can't be bought. You can't go out and bribe God. You can't go out and swindle God. You can't play three-card Molly with God. Okay, God, I guess where the ball's at, I got the anointing. You can't play blackjack with God. And if you win, you get the anointing. It doesn't work like that. You got to spend time in prayer. You got to spend time before the word. You got to spend time fasting. That's how you get the anointing. It's free, but it costs a lot. See, I don't know if it's the anointing behind the pulpit or it's that it's so high that I got to use the small one, right? Because he's a big man. He's the man, let me tell you. But it's the anointing, y'all. It's the anointing. Good. Oh, Jesus, I love it. How much time I got? About 10 minutes? 5? Okay. I got a few minutes. I want to show you just a couple things. Turn over to Acts. Chapter 10 real quick. And then we're going to go to Acts 14. And then we're going to get back to David. We're going to get back to David. Because I feel some Davids and some Davidas in the room, right? See, right? You got some Davids and you got some Davidas. And see, nowadays, see, the world is going to tell you nowadays that David can be Davida. And Davida can be David. I'm going to leave that alone. You got some places sanctifying ungodly marriages, where David is now Davida, and Davida is now David. Oh yeah, she looks like she's the husband. The blood. See, and I thank God for the mothers I thank God for the mothers in this room, because guess what? The mothers of the lineage of David were the ones that anointed Jesus. The mothers like this, I mean, she's sitting in the front row, you the bomb, mom. And if you don't know what the bomb means, it means you all that. But it's the mothers like that and every other mother. See, God is no respecter of persons. What he gives for this mother, he's going to give for you. And in Mark chapter 14, it said that they were anointing Jesus. They were washing his feet. They were putting expensive colognes and ointments and fragrances on him. They were spending all that they had in the treasury. And see, we like to think of Judas. Oh, you Judas, you betrayer. But in Mark chapter 14, it says, there were many that did not like what they were doing to Jesus. And the mother still sat at the feet. The mothers, they knew, I got to anoint this man. Because this man, if it be not for this man, I'm going to be in hell. If it be not for this man, all my sins will be imputed against me. If it be not for this man, my lineage and my children's children can't prosper. If it be not for this man. See, God said, it was all good just a week ago. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock, right? And 1 week later, it's a problem. But God is saying, you're going to have some stuff that's going to show up this week, and by next week, you're going to take that crown, you're going to slice it off. Come on now. I'm just trying to tell you, talking about the anointing. Talking about the anointing. I like to move around. I like to have fun. It keeps me slim and trim. I got a young wife. That's right. Stand up. Stand up. Let them see you. Raise your hands. See? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. There you go. There you go. See, I'm going to tell you something about the anointing. Remember I said in the atmosphere of the anointing, there's three things. The first one, divine fellowship. When you see divine fellowship, when you see God send you a prophet, and you might not respect and honor them as a prophet, but you know when it's coming only from God, because only God is going to tell you that you're a mighty man of God. The world's going to tell you, I can't believe you married the one wife. I can't believe you stayed with your husband through all that. Come on now, I know some of y'all looking around like, I hope they ain't sitting next to me. Talking about the anointing, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'm going to be done in about 5 minutes. Because I want to leave time that the anointing can come and rest, reign, and abide on every single person that needs to be touched and healed and blessed. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 37. See, I'm going to go back to my theologian spot. See, some people say theologians. I say, I'm not a theologian yet. I've never been to all kind of seminary schools. I don't got a whole bunch of degrees on my wall. I'm just from Philadelphia. So I call myself Theo Logan. Because I ain't got the degree on the wall yet, but it's coming in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 10. Look at verse 37. And in 30, we're talking about the anointing. Talking about the power of the anointing that's going to rest on your life. Look at this. I like to be close to the people. Is that all right? Who's got it? Somebody read Acts chapter 10. Just yell it out, if you would. Verse 37. Acts chapter 10, verse 37.
That word I said, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
For God was with him. Now look at this. There's one part in there that's very interesting. And it says, that word I say ye know, which was published through all Judea and began in Galilee. And the one thing I like about God is God will always take you back to the beginning. Remember I said that with David and the sword. God is going to take you back to the beginning. That's why he says the wife of your youth or the love of your youth. He's trying to take you back to when your heart was pure. When it wasn't so corrupted. When we didn't have so many different gadgets that we forgot about reading the Bible. We thought we could just turn on the TV and boom, there it is. God is saying, he took him back to the beginning and he said, Galilee. And when he said Galilee, then he said, Jesus from, and in some versions it says Jesus from Nazareth or of Nazareth. And if you look at Luke chapter 4, it says that soon as Jesus came back and he was anointed with the power, that he went to Nazareth, and in Nazareth he was rejected. So you got to be very careful when you read it. It says Jesus of Nazareth or from Nazareth or Jesus being rejected. Because that was the place where he was rejected. And that was the place when he stood up in Isaiah 61 and said, what? I'm anointed to preach this gospel. He said he did all kinds of miracles. But when he came back to the place that he called home, they didn't receive him. A prophet gets honor except in his own house. But guess what? We're changing that, right, y'all? Amen?
Amen.
So what you have to understand in the atmosphere of the anointing, there's divine fellowship. There's a command or the prophetic word of God. And there's also, well, if you look at the command of God. God's always going to give you a word. He's going to give you a word. The Bible says the sower soweth what? The word. And that word a lot of times is going to prick your spirit and it's going to hurt your heart. David said in Psalm 55, he said it wasn't an enemy. If it was an enemy, I could have done it. I could have took it. I could have bore it. He said, but it was my own friend who walked up in the church with me. It was my own friend who walked in the sanctuary with me. It was my own friend who I carpooled to work with every day that stabbed me in the back. See, that's when you need the anointing. The anointing is to forgive. The anointing is to say, look, don't worry about it. It's all good. I'm not thinking about it. I forgive you. It's the anointing. David said, guess what? He said, it hurt me so bad. He said, I walked up in the church with you. That's why adultery and marriage, and I don't know why I'm going to say this, but adultery and marriage hurt so much because it's the closest thing to you. It's your ace, boom, coon. Y'all shared the ring together. Everything was cool on the first day. Everything was gravy. Everything was lovely. You had on white. Everything looked good, but it hurt when they did it to you. It hurt when they broke the covenant, but you need the anointing to forgive.
Amen.
Say forgive.
Amen.
Now, I want to show you. The other day, my wife and I were ministering, and we were getting ready to come up to see Dr. Pierman. I call him Doc. What's up, Doc? That sounds cool. I feel like Bugs Bunny. What's up, Doc? But we were coming up to see him, and we had an appointment to leave, and it got delayed. My wife was doing somebody's hair, and it happened to be a birthday. I didn't know it. I went to the store, and I got my wife a cappuccino. I love to serve my wife. All you men, please do that. Don't let the world tell you can't be humble and serve your wife. Oh, now, come on now. Come on. It's a new day now. It's a new day, y'all. Come on. It's still godly order, but you can still be humble and serve your wife and be a real man. So I came and I served my wife a little cappuccino thing, right? And I had a second one. The second one, I said, well, God told me to get it. And they looked at me and I said, here, young lady, and I gave it to her. And she said, oh, man, it's my birthday. And I said, oh, wow, that's great. You just took my smoothie. I said that to myself. I didn't say it to her. But so she began to drink it. But as she began to drink it, my wife began to minister to her. And there were some broken relationships. There were some hurtful things that had happened to her. And sometimes, let me tell you something. A $2.33 smoothie can change somebody's whole day. Don't think that you can't go and give people a little small little trinket, small something from the dollar store. You might not have a whole bunch of money, but guess what? It's the thought that counts. So I gave her the smoothie, and we began to talk, and we began to minister, and she began to pour out, and she began to say how bad she was treating her husband, how bad she was treating her friend. And one of her friends had done something that cussed her all out. I'm just keeping it real, y'all. But her friends had cussed her all out, and if we won't have time to do it. But her friends had cussed her all out, so she said, I was going to take her kids and take them out to school. And my wife said, well, you got guardianship over them. Why would you take them out? Because she did this and I'm sick of this and I did it and it hurt me so much. We'll do some hurtful things, y'all, when we get hurt. See, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And that's not the anointing now. That's you. So she was doing all this. She was saying all this. But we would have never gotten to that point had we not opened up her heart by giving her this little $2.33 smoothie. My Banana Foster smoothie. I'm going to be done in a second now. But I want to show you this because this is important. Because this is what David said. So I said, well, young lady, how do you expect God to bless you in every area of your life when you're going to go and hurt these little children and take them out of the school in a good neighborhood, in a good situation? How do you think God is going to treat your children? See, God in 2 Samuel chapter 12, he said, you are the man. See, how does it feel when God turns that mirror back at us and say, and show you your stinking thinking? I don't know about you, but I had some stinking thinking sometimes, and I had to repent and say, Lord, forgive me, because I know you're faithful and just to forgive me. Amen. Talking about the anointing now. See, the anointing allow you to do this stuff. See, it's not real deep. It's not real deep, and we'll be done in a second. I want to show you one more thing. But, so we prayed. And as I began to pray, I said, young lady, before you leave, I got to pray. Because she said, she said, I want you and your wife to marriage counsel us. She said, my husband ain't really saved, and he was going through a situation. He was Jehovah's Witness, whole bunch of nonsense. I said, well, baby, we ain't worried about all that. Why don't you just come and get some prayer? So I started laying hands on her. I told you my wife was doing her hair. So I felt the weave on top of her head. I said, I don't want to mess her hair up now. Come on now, keep it real. She be kicking me and punching me in the face. So I gently put my hand on top of her head. And we started casting that stuff out in the name of Jesus. Not me, but it was the anointing. And I said, God, touch my hand that I don't mess her hair up because I don't really want to have a problem with this woman. But we dealt with that stuff in the spirit. We broke some things in the spirit. And sometimes God has anointed you to preach this gospel that you got to reach out and lay hands on somebody right there at work. You got to reach out and lay hands on somebody right at the gas station. You got to reach on your credit cards and your bank accounts, lay hands on that thing in the name of Jesus. See, God is not calling us to do church, y'all. He's not calling us to do church. He's not calling us to do church. Can I show you one more thing? I got 2 minutes, Pastor. 2 minutes, I promise. I promise. You know you hear pastors say that. Okay. See, there's a linking spirit to that first disappointment. Remember I said you have an appointment with disappointment? But there's a linking spirit to that disappointment. And I wrote them down. I just want to share this with you. Somebody say, there's a linking spirit. And you're only as strong as, a chain is only as strong as what? Its weakest link. Now watch this, real quick. So first you're disappointed. That's the first thing that happens. You get rejected. You get disappointed. Somebody hurt you. Somebody took your man back in 1983. Still hurt. You got laid off the job that you didn't want and you cursed out every day. But you're still hurt. And then watch what God says. 7 things. First, after the disappointment, see, if you don't deal with the disappointment, it's going to lay dormant, and it's going to take root, and it's going to start binding you up. See, it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and powers. Every high thing that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. You have to understand. Look at what it said. It said the devaluation. First, you get devalued. You don't see yourself in high esteem. 2nd thing, this is if you don't deal with it now, you won't deal with the disappointment, so it goes back and gets what? 7 more friends. I'm going to show you this now. So first you got disappointed at the job that fired you that you hated. But you didn't realize it. It was the hatred that God was trying to deal with. God said, I can't move you in the kingdom while you hate your job. No, that doesn't work. So God said he moved you from it, and yeah, you got hurt, so you got devalued. Then you disassociate yourself from the people. You don't come around no more. Then becomes self-indulgence. Right? So we got devaluation, disassociation, self-indulgence. Then you become self-reliant. All right, God, I don't need them. It's all good. I got it. I'm the man. I'm the girl. I'm the bomb. I know how to work this thing out. Then you have self-exaltation. Because now you think you done did it.
You got fired. You ain't need them. I don't need them. I don't need her. I don't need him.
Then it becomes self-reliance. Self-reliance. And then it becomes an obsession. So if you don't deal with that first spirit is going to go get seven more. And that seven more are now you're fighting eight. So it's now you in a battle royal in a fight against eight other spirits that you didn't even know came back. I'm getting ready to be finished. Now the way you deal with the disappointment, because remember, you got to go back. God took David back and showed him the sword. Why do you think he showed him the sword? Because he wanted to show him where his greatest triumph was. But your greatest triumph is only as good as your greatest weakness. So he took David back and he showed him the sword that he used in the beginning. And I hear God saying, go back to your greatest victory and find out what made that greatest victory, and it's going to help you today. It's going to help you today. Last but not least, go to Acts. No, not Acts. Hold on, give me a second. See, I remember in my office the other day, I brought some anointing oil in my office because I had to change some atmospheres. How many of us got some stuff on a job that you just need to push out and break up? See, Jeremiah chapter 1 says, I called you to be the king. I called you and I anointed you to break some things up, to shake the ground, to pour the foundation. But he also called you to plant and build. Plant and build. Preach and heal. Plant and build. Come on now. Some of y'all got some situations on your job. I know I do. I needed that anointing oil. And I'm telling you, my brother came in the office, and I walked in the office. He was anointing his whole head up. He looked like a big old chicken wing, man. He was anointing himself. And I looked, and I said, okay, I ain't say nothing. A lady came in, and she had liver disease. And she said, Mike, can you pray for me? She saw the anointing oil. I anointed my hand. I laid it on her stomach. And I felt a little weird. I ain't going to be honest with you. Because she had her stomach, her shirt up. Right? And I said, I got my hand on her belly. I'm looking like, I don't know what my employees are thinking. But I'm laying hands on her in the name of Jesus. So I'm speaking real loud now. I made sure I called my wife and let her know what's going on. So we saw your husband with his hand on some girl's belly. So I'm anointing her in the name of Jesus. Right? And she said, Mike, she said, soon as you anointed me, soon as you lay hands on me, I felt the heat come upon my body, and I felt that thing push out. I felt that thing leave. And I said, whoa, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And I believe that you're healed. And but guess what? Soon as you get that one day, remember, you're going to have that weakest link. So I'm walking out of my office that night, and I said, wow, God, I was going through some stuff in my body. I said, I'm going to start anointing myself. I'm going to believe, if I could believe it for my brother, if I could believe it for the woman with the liver, I'm going to believe it for myself. So I'm anointing my neck. I'm anointing my whole body, anointing my suit up and everything in the name. Don't be afraid to anoint your clothes. My wife does it for me all the time. Thank you, baby. But let me say this before I close. So I started anointing myself. So as I'm walking out the office, say, there's always an attack. There's always an attack now. Once you stand holy for Jesus, there's always going to be an attack that's going to come against you. When you lose your job, you know you're getting promoted. When your husband left, you know God's getting ready to bring greater reconciliation. Come on now, I'm going to keep it real. One of the things I used to say back in the day was break up love. I'm going to leave it like that, break up love. Because you'd be so mad at each other, and when you come back together, everything is all good. Oh, baby, I love you. See, God is doing some reunification here. I'm keeping it real. So as I'm leaving my office, I close up, I turn my back, and I'm walking out of my office. This guy comes down the street. I mean, he's cussing up a storm, saying he's going to do this and he do that. And I'm looking and saying, I ain't do that, none of that, man. And he started walking closer to me. So I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, do something now, do something now. Because I got this anointing oil on my hand, and I might put it on my fist and really anoint him in the name of Jesus. I said, help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I'm just being real. I had to defend myself, y'all. But I prayed, and he kept walking. He kept walking. I'm going to close. God is saying with the anointing, all you can do is win. With the anointing, stand to your feet. With the anointing, all you can do is win. See, when the enemy thought they were going to take your finances, say, all I do is win. When the anointing thought they, when the enemy thought that they were going to take your marriage, say, all I do is win. when the anointed, when the enemy's going to come up against you. Where's the man of God? He left. That was right here. And they said, he left. Oh, man, God has something for him. Oh. See, the enemy is going to come up and tell you that you're worthless, that you can't do it. And you got to know, say, all I do is win. When the things come up against you, your finances look jacked up, say, all I do is win. When the things in your marriage don't look like it's ever going to get fixed, say, all I do is win. When you lose that job, when your car breaks down, say, all I do is win. See, it's the anointing that makes you win. It's nothing that you did. Say, all I do is what? Win. All I do is?
Win.
All I do is?
Win.
And you, come on, yeah, yeah, come on, keep it going. All I do is?
Win.
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 In my finances?
Win.
In my health?
Win.
In my marriage?
Win.
In my situation?
Win.
On my job?
Win.
In my body?
Win.
In my heart? In my house, with my tithes, with my offering. Come on, y'all. Get me out of the way. All I do is. All I do is. All I do is. Okay. I'm done. I'm going to open the floor up. Okay, Pastor, I'm going to open the floor up. Because there's some people that came today and they felt like losers. You didn't tell anybody. You didn't say anything. You look good in your suit and you look good in your dress. But God is saying today is a day we're not doing church. We're doing Jesus. And if you want the anointing to rest, reign, and abide, today is the day. I hear God saying in Isaiah 54, he said, I'm going to wipe away the shame of a youth. I'm going to wipe away all the places where you've been disappointed and you've been rejected and you've been hated and you failed miserably. You started the job and you thought it was going to work and you were going to have a career and they laid you off. They moved out of state. Somebody made you a promise and they didn't keep it. You started a business and it had such promise. It had such power. You just thought it was going to be the best thing in the world, the newest, hottest thing, and it didn't work. And God is saying, won't you come up today that you might know that all you do is
all I do is win.
This isn't normal church service.
All I do is
see, you have a pastor after your own heart who loves you and prays for you and goes to the mountaintop for you. And God is saying that he can only be strengthened as you are strengthened. His greatest weakness is your greatest weakness. But as you get strengthened, come on up now, just come on up. And we're going to lay hands. We're going to take a little bit of time to pray and speak the prophetic thing on your life. Don't be ashamed. See, you didn't come here today to leave out the same way.
All I do is win.
You didn't come here today to leave still with that stinking thinking. Maybe you want something birthed in your life and you say, God, I know you got something for me. I know that you got a great invention for me. I know you got the job for me. I know you got the husband for me. I know my marriage is getting ready to get fixed and it looks jacked up today. But God, I know you're gonna do something. God is waiting on you. In Isaiah 65, it says, before you speak, he has the answer. And while you are yet speaking, he's already done it. So God is waiting for us. Isaiah 65, 24, that is the original meaning of walk by faith and not by sight. God said, I've already done it for you. Said, I'm sitting here and I'm waiting. God said, you can come and you can cry out. Don't be embarrassed. Nobody's looking at you. But you're looking in the mirror and you're saying, you're the man. It's not me waiting for everybody else. It's me going for me, Jesus. My husband's not here, but I'm going for me and my whole household. They said, as for me and my household, I will serve the Lord and worship and praise Him all the days of my life. God is saying, bring it to the altar. God, those of somebody has a business and you wanted to start it, you wanted to birth it, and everything around you is saying it's not going to succeed. I'm telling you today, God is going to do it in the name of Jesus. There's a healing in this place. If you want the healing, come up so we can lay hands on you, so we can activate this faith. Isaiah 65 and 24. I want somebody to read Isaiah 65 and 24. And if you could read it, I want somebody to read it. 65 and 24. And I want to beat this into our eardrum so we might know what thus saith the Lord. Isaiah 65 and 24, and I'm going to anoint you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to anoint you in the name of Jesus.
Come to pass that
before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Somebody ought to give a praise right there. And it shall come to pass.